and welcome to the podcast where you will heal the relationship with yourself, unlearn the limiting beliefs that tell you it's better to blend in than stand out, and realize that you are more than enough. You are incredible. I am your host, Susan Padrone, an intuitive personal stylist and award-winning author featured in InStyle and many publications accessible all over the world. I am a tattooed queer mom who is showing up to give you the gentle nudge or emotional hug, whichever you need, so that you can give yourself the permission to be you. This is the Susan Padrone Podcast. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Susan Padrone Podcast. Today, I am going to be chatting with Sarah DeMayo. And Sarah is here to help people see themselves so they can finally be themselves. She combines human design, intuition, and over 20 years of experience in sales, marketing, and operations to help you show up with confidence in your life, work, and business in a way that feels true to your soul. Now, Sarah and I connected in a membership group that we're both part of, and I just adore her. So, Sarah, thank you so much for wanting to be on my podcast. I am just so excited and happy to have you here.
Hi, Susan. I am so excited to be here. So thanks for inviting me on and having this conversation. I mean, I feel like I was drawn to you the instant I was introduced.
Oh, so likewise. I'm just like,
we're friends now. That's how exactly. It is.
Yeah, I feel the same way about you. I am really, really excited to be able to share you with my audience, you know, because human design, I feel like, is something that I first learned about probably, I don't know, like 4-ish years ago. And it was a friend of mine who is also a spiritual entrepreneur who first told me about it. And, you know, I've been into astrology like practically my whole life, but human design feels like it kind of snuck up on me. I mean, how can you first explain to our listeners who might be completely unfamiliar with the term, like what is human design?
Yeah. So, you know, human design is really all about, it's really kind of the art and science of differentiation. I like to say that human design is like astrology, the chakra system, the Chinese I Ching Book of Changes, and the Kabbalah Tree of Life had this beautiful baby. And this beautiful baby is you. And it's sort of a map of your energy and consistent traits that you have within you that you can rely on. And it also gives you sort of an instruction manual for how you can interact with the world around you, the energies of the world around you, because we're all giving and receiving in different ways.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, there's so many different components to it. And I think that that's what has, I know for me personally, I think that's probably what made me a little bit resistant, like learn more myself, because, you know, I've filled out the quiz online, you know, to get like my breakdown, my chart and everything. And I was looking at it and then looking at all of the numbers and the symbols and everything. I was like, whoa, this is a lot. But I feel like there's so much here, but I need guidance. So yeah.
It's very overwhelming to look at. I remember when I discovered it, it was probably 5 years ago, right after my ADHD diagnosis. And it was like, oh, like when I was reading about it, I just like dove in and I was like, what did these numbers mean? What does this mean? Who am I? Like, what is this? And I was like, oh my God, I make sense. Yeah. Like all this stuff that I thought was wrong with me is like literally how I'm designed to work. And I went through the research hole began immediately, and I created a big document for myself and for my best friend. And I'm like asking everybody, what's your birthday? When were you born? What is it? Let me tell you about yourself. And that was kind of how it started. It was just like so fascinating. But yeah, it's just like a big permission slip to be like you.
Yeah.
But overwhelming if you just look at it.
Exactly. And I feel like that's where that ADHD hyperfocus comes in so handy. Where you're like, ooh, a new special interest I can just like dive into completely. Yes. Like for me, that's where my overwhelm comes in. I was like, oh gosh, numbers. I don't wanna.
To each their own, right? We all have our things that we want to dig in on. Mine, I really want to, I've always had like an obsession with personality tests, you know? I'm an ENFP, I'm an Enneagram 2W3, and like, but those always felt very limiting over time. And I feel like human design, even with 5 years of study, it just keeps going and going and going and getting deeper and deeper. It's amazing.
I feel like because there's so much to it. And depending on what you're focusing on and what phase you're in your life right now too. I feel like sometimes different aspects of your human design can really resonate deeper, you know, depending on just how much of your life you've lived up until that point. You know, it's, I just feel like there are certain parts for me personally on my, in my human design that if I had learned about that, even like, I guess before I became an entrepreneur, so probably like 10 years ago, I would have been like, I don't know. Is that me? Is this accurate? Like, I'm not so sure about this. But then, you know, after the call that you and I had, which we'll definitely dive into during this episode for sure, everything that you were sharing with me was like, wow. Like my mind was blown over and over again in the way that I was like, yes, yes, yes. It just felt so validating. And so I know your interest really like got you to expanding and working with more people, you know, people in your life and doing their human design charts for them. But what made you decide to incorporate it into your business and how you work with your clients?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. So for me, one of the things that I feel like is so helpful with human design is that, you know, a lot of the advice out there in the world for, you know, how to run your business, how to do all these things, it feels very cookie cutter and like you have to do these things. But what human design does is it gives you a different lens to look through because we're not designed to push our work out into the world. We have different mechanisms for how we know what's right for us and our own sense of timing, you know? Yeah. So that really helps me to understand how my clients actually operate so that when it comes to, you know, creating their marketing plans or like their websites, right? It's like, who are you and how can you share that in a way that actually feels good to you, right? Because we're not, the other thing too, is that we're not all designed to work with the exact same people or do the exact same things, right? So sort of one of my taglines, one of my many taglines is the way you do it is the magic of it, right? So there's a million different stylists out there in the world, but Susan is the one with this special, like sensitive, very attuned sauce that allows her to like show up for you and just like know exactly who you are and what you need in that moment. But that's your special sauce. You know, somebody else might have a totally different approach.
What you just said, the way you do it is the magic of it. That phrase, I just like, it gave me chills to like hear you say it, you know? And that's something that I really wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody listening really hears that sentence and just lets it wash over them completely. Like the way you do it is the magic of it, because it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's about the fact that you, in your unique sense of self, your unique beauty, that's what you bring to this life and to everyone that you come in contact with. And the fact that you, Sarah, are helping people, you know, embrace that about themselves and learn what systems and marketing and everything relating to their business really works for them. That's a really powerful gift that you're giving to people.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love it so much. You know, I think, you know, in this world where social media and just like everything, you know, it's so easy to sit there and try to compare ourselves to other people and be like, why can't I be more like this person? Or, you know, when we're in sales conversations, right? And people are like, well, why should I choose you? And being able to just be like really, really solid in that and be like, actually, you can choose whoever you want.
Yeah.
But this is how I work. And this is what this is what I bring and this is what I see in you. But from there, it's up to you. So you kind of just like let go. You're able to let go of holding on too tightly to what the outcome might be because you're so solid in yourself, confident.
I love that. Yeah, confidence. Yeah. I think that's so good because you're releasing any form of attachment to the outcome, which I think is something that gets talked about so frequently, especially in like the world of like manifestation conversations and all of that. But it's like, no, really, it's just protecting your own.
Yes.
What's the phrase that I'm looking for? Like you're protecting your own like sanity, you know, and you're just like, hey, you're just living your life in more of a flow state in a much more like fluid approach where you're very confident in who you are. You don't feel any need to really defend that confidence, but instead you're saying, this is who I am. This is how I do it. And if we're a good fit, amazing. If we're not, I hope you find the right fit out there. And that's why there are so many people that do what we all do, because there needs to be the right fit for the right puzzle, right? Like you need to find that right piece.
Exactly. Yeah. And if we're talking about style, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Some people are really good and high-waisted. Other people are good and, you know, I mean, it really is just catered to who you are, you know?
Exactly.
As a person. And the more I think that we allow ourselves to like practice with what that feels like, right? Practice with what like does actually feel good to us. I feel like the more powerful we get and the more we have our own back when it is hard, because there are going to be disappointments. There is going to be suffering. We have lives.
Yeah.
Like life is not this perfect, you know, thing where everything is just great all the time. It's just not. But learning how to like be like, this is still me. Like you are the consistent thing in your life. Like that's pretty magical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I love this. I love that whole approach because you're absolutely right. And I think that, you know, going back to the idea of human design and learning about your own human design, learning about, hey, like this is the reason that I do things this way, or the reason that I like to work in this way or work with this kind of people is because that's who I am. That's, you know, my human design type really supports that, or, you know, my gene keys, you know, like all of that. Well, it's like all of that just supports who we are. So in the work that you do, Sarah, like how do you see that human design impacts the way that we approach our work, our daily lives, and like everything that we do? You know, do you get to really see that with the clients that you work with and just anyone that you get to really introduce to the world of human design?
Oh, gosh. You know, I feel like that's a really, you know, hard question to answer succinctly, but
that's okay. We have time. So.
Yeah, I think that just like where there are five types in human design, and each type has sort of, like, think about the best way to describe it, because human design is this big system, right? Mm-hmm. So, but at the end of the day, is just your type is just a way to sort of segment yourself. And there are five types, and each type has a different strategy, which is how they best sort of make manifest in the world in a way that minimizes resistance, right? Mm-hmm. And there are also different authorities. But just talking about types and strategies, we'll talk about the manifester, who is the only type that's actually here to initiate. And so the manifester type is about 8% of the world, and they're here to tell people what they're doing and then go do it. I mean, really, that is the way. And so they're sort of like leading the charge, and then other people will come on board. And then the generator type, which is about 35% of the world, they are the builders. I'm a generator, and we're here to, you know, create and put our energy towards things and just sort of like be this like go sort of energy. But we're powered by needing to operate in response to things outside of us. So we have this powerful sacral center that's constantly either saying yes or no or nothing. And so, you know, when our guts say yes, we are very lit up by what we're doing and we can just go forth and move ahead, right? And then there's the manifesting generator who, you know, there's different ways that you can call it, but if generators are builders, manifesting generators or express builders. So these are going to be the people who like get lit up by what they're doing and then they go and do it. And then they are like they're the people who are like the multi-passionates. They're doing multiple things at a time, right? And people may be like, oh my gosh, who are you? What are you doing? How did you do that so fast? Right. And then there's the projector type, which is you.
That's me.
And you're, you know, here to, you know, really here to guide the world into a more efficient way of being. When I think about projectors, you know, you're not here to necessarily do the doing like the generators or manifesting generators are. I mean, your work, of course, but you know, the way that you, your strategy, right? So how you best work in the world is to wait for recognition and invitation. And mm-hmm. so except for the manifestors, we all have to wait. Right. And so for projectors, something that can be hard is that you may feel unseen, right? Or may feel unrecognized or not invited to things. And so trying to push your way forward in the world. But my projector friends, the 20% of you out there, please, please, please take a moment to recognize yourself, like really honor your own gifts and share from that place. And then the reflectors is about 1% and they are wide open. So when you think about a reflector, they're constantly taking in all of the energy of the world. And so in human design, this is not something that we're going to get into today, but there are, you know, the imprint comes in at the moment of our birth. So, you know, the human design system is always changing, just like astrology is always changing. So for the reflector types, they're wide open when they're born to the energy, but they get turned on in different ways by the astrological movements of the world. That was probably just like a very confusing way to describe it. But human design is a big system. So hopefully somebody got something out of that that was helpful.
Yeah. No, but definitely. Yeah. It's
We don't have to push our way forward.
Yeah. I know for me, it was so validating to find out that I was a projector and, you know, what that means, like what that means, you know, before you and I had our call, like I knew I was a projector and that it meant that I do my best work in like shorter intervals. I also knew that I cannot work closely and consistently with generators. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, I need a break. Like I need time to recharge, yeah. to be able to function. And that is like very much a projector thing to say and feel.
Yep. But you get amplified by our energy. So you can borrow it when you need it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's and that definitely like amps me up. And I know I'm like in the zone, I'm doing all the things. And then it's so funny because as soon as I'm back to being by myself, that's when all of it, all the dust kind of settles. I'm like, whoa, I need a nap. Or like, I just need to be in the woods by myself. Like I need something to just, you know, call my energy back and all of that. It's just, it's so funny.
Can I ask you something on that?
Yes, please.
Did you used to beat yourself up for feeling like you didn't have the energy to keep working and working and working?
100%. For those of you listening to the episode rather than watching, I was nodding my head so hard. Because I think, and that's something that a lot of projectors, I think, have the tendency to do, because like the generators, like you said, it's what, 30% of
35,
the world?
Yeah. 35%. 70% if you include manifesting generators. Yeah.
Right. So it's a huge portion of the population are mm-hmm. generators or a type of generator. So, mm-hmm. and I feel like that's really what the typical workday is built around, you know, not to mention like all of the masculine influence on there too, with a 24-hour cycle versus a 28-day cycle, which is another conversation for another time. But it's like for taking in all that kind of information that we just inherently absorb as a projector, it's like, oh, but this doesn't work for me and I don't know why. Until you learn about human design and what your human design type is. And then it all makes sense. And then you slowly work on releasing all of that guilt for not being the Energizer Bunny of the human design world.
Yep. Yep. But also, you know, honoring the moments when you are and be like, yes, I felt that today. Mm. And allowing it to just be that instead of trying to wonder why you didn't have that the next day.
Mm, that's because
it does come in ebbs and flows, right? All of life does.
Yeah.
And even for us generators, if we're applying our energy towards a no, right? So if we're in a job we hate, or if we're doing things that aren't actually for us, that we don't have energy for, it feels like a slog. Yeah. We feel desperate and burnt out. We all get burnt out in different ways when we're not using our energy correctly.
So do you find that there are like common takeaways that your clients have from their time working with you, or does it really vary from person to person? I mean, obviously, like, I know that everyone is very unique in the way that they do things and unique in their magic. But do you feel like after they have a call with you, like I did, you know, that there's a similarity between the takeaway?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, I always like to pull cards if I have permission. And one of the ones that I pull very frequently during my sessions is, you are not for everyone.
Mm.
And I feel like for many people, you know, again, with that comparisonitis, wondering why we're not like connecting, right? It's more like they're able to be like, oh, I don't have to try to please this person.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have to force myself to contort to fit into this other person's box. Right. And it's like, you know, I think the biggest takeaway is just really like, you make sense.
Yeah.
Like you make sense. The end. Yeah.
I think that that's beautiful, you know, because it's something that I think we're constantly trying to figure out or, you know, fix or improve on. It's like, how can we be a better version of ourselves? And when you're learning and you're like, wait, hold on. Like, I can always improve. There's always that room for improvement, obviously, but it's not fully necessary either. Like, you can be you and that can also be enough. And just understanding and seeing the different components of who you are, I think is a real like life-changing moment for a lot of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. And I think too, like, you know, it kind of gives, and I know we've talked about this sort of permission slip before in this conversation, but it's kind of like, oh, I really don't have to try so hard. Like, I could like practice leaning into more of who I am, right? I really want people to feel like, I don't know, like a little bit bigger in their heart space, you know, a little more powerful, a little more open, a little more free to be like, oh yeah, no, I don't have to do that. That's why. And just take that into their day, you know?
I feel, even just hearing you say that, I feel like a weight lifted off of like my shoulders and my chest. Like, I just have this physical, like an energetic response to that, which I'm sure, I'm sure our listeners are feeling that too. It's like, yeah, like that. It's just that openness and that freedom and being who you are and seeing that fully for yourself and not having to do so much. Like, it doesn't have to be so hard. And I know that I see it a lot with my personal styling clients too, where a lot of people have this concept of style where it has to be like something really overly complicated because they're like, oh, well, I don't have style. You know, and that means that I need to work with a personal stylist. And when I work with a personal stylist, this is what it's going to look like. And then I'm going to look like, you know, these advertisements that I see in Vogue. And it's like, well, is that really like what you want? Because we don't have to, like, we can do that, but we don't have to do that. Like, your style can still feel like you. It's just learning about how to do it and learning about how your body and how it is right now, like that's more than enough. And you don't have to be, you know, comparing yourself and trying to achieve these looks that just don't resonate with you. And once they really hear that and feel that, they're like, oh, okay. Like, she's not going to come into my closet and just like burn everything or tell me that I have to get rid of everything because I don't really know what style is. It's like, well, no, we don't have to do that. Like, it's not what it has to look like. And that's okay. Just being able to give people that permission to just be who they are in this moment, I think is just, it's an incredible gift.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking about how powerful that is, right? Like being who you are in this moment, right? You're not trying to lose 20 pounds. You're not trying to like get buff or anything like that. It's like literally you can dress yourself as you are today.
Exactly.
And feel good about who you are.
Yeah.
And I think too that the extra piece that I'd be curious to know for you, like how this might, you know, work with style, but you're also allowed to evolve, right? So what fits now, right? That style or, you know, even in human design, like you as a person, like you can evolve. So how do you do that? Like, how do you serve people in their style evolutions?
Oh, I love that we're switching this around a little bit. The interviewer.
Yeah, sorry. I'm like, interviewee. I don't know. Like, how do you do that?
I'm excited. I love answering questions. And it's so funny because for the longest time before I created my podcast, I was being interviewed on others. And then when I stepped into this role, I was like, oh, wait, now I have to ask the questions. So, so anyway, I'm here for it. Thank you is what I was trying to say. So how does the work that I do like help to kind of evolve as my client evolves? And it's so fascinating for me because I see it whether I'm working with a client for 6 months or 12 months or years. And even within a 6 month time period, I always tell my clients at, you know, after we kind of get going with it, that we're going to do a big edit in the beginning where we're looking at everything and talking through all of the things that they have and seeing what pieces they currently love and talking about why and what pieces we're keeping. And we'll continue to use those and making outfits for them throughout our time together while we're supplementing and bringing in new ones. But what always happens is after about like 3 or 4 months, like minimum, they start to pull out some of those older pieces. And they're like, yeah, this just really isn't for me anymore. Like, this just isn't me. And they start to do like a second edit of their own closet after we start that momentum of really helping them be who they are in this moment or like stepping into that version of themselves that they've really wanted to become. And so they start saying, yeah, this piece is no longer me. Like, I'm really ready to say that now. When we first start working together, they might not be ready to have that kind of, you know, release. So then we continue to bring in more pieces that are really resonating, that are making them feel like the best versions of themselves. And it's always really cool because there are some pieces after about 5 months that my clients are inevitably like, oh my gosh, I love this. Like, can you imagine if you brought this to me, or if you showed this to me during the first month that we were working together, I would have been like, absolutely not. Like, who is this person? But then, you know, just even after a few months, they're like, no, this is me. And I'm ready to say that now. And I feel so good. And it's all about their guidance and me following their lead while incorporating my professional expertise too, but it's a combination of the two because I can't just shove them out of their comfort zone during our first, you know, our first session. It would be traumatic. It would be unproductive. It would just be awful. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So what I say is we start with in pieces that are on like the outer edge of your comfort zone. And then we take like a little step out and we see how that feels. And sometimes we're not ready for that step. And sometimes we're super excited about it. And then we can see, like, can we expand the comfort zone to then include that outer step? And we expand it further and further and further. So it's always evolving to make sure that we're including the room for growth and the potential for growth. So, yeah.
I freaking love that. Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, I think that's like, let that be a lesson for all of us, whether we're coaches or whatever we're doing, right? We think that we want our people to have like immediate results, and they will.
Yes.
But having that sustained, lasting, like sort of like what I'm hearing you say is not only like trust in, you know, what they're, you know, what their choices are, what feels good, right? But that takes time. And sometimes it takes somebody like just being there with you through the process, you know, it's exactly. They might even, I don't know if you ever get pushback. Do you ever get pushback? Like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And you're like, just try it on.
Yes, I do. That does happen.
And one day.
Exactly. I always tell clients, you know, I always give them the permission to say that they hate something. I'm like, if you hate something, I was like, my feelings will not be hurt. We carry on living our lives. Anyone who is a current client of mine or a past client of mine, they have heard me say those words verbatim in that way many times. Because I think it's important when you're helping people to explore the boundaries of their comfort zone, to just say, to be able to say, hey, I'm feeling uncomfortable right now. And even if it's not using that phrase specifically, if it's, I don't really like this piece for me, or like, this doesn't feel like me, or I just don't like this, you know, because that's usually how I hear it from my clients when they're having that kind of reaction. And, but giving them the permission, knowing they're not going to hurt my feelings, because like, I didn't make the clothes. I bought them all because I thought they would like them, or I like them. So like, clearly there is that connection, but it's, they're not going to hurt my feelings. If they don't love it, they're not going to wear it. And my goal is for them to love everything. So anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And trust yourself, right? And what a safe space for them to practice, like, saying yes and no.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like boundaries, man, don't even get me started.
Yeah, no, for real. That could be like a whole other episode that we chat about for sure.
Yeah. But it's like, what are you allowing in, right? Mm-hmm. What are you allowing in? That's what I think about what boundaries are. Not like, what are you keeping out?
Oh, no. I think that it's a much more positive approach too. And like, what are you allowing in? And I think you're also still acknowledging like the sacred safe space of it all too, without being so guarded, without being like, what am I keeping out? It's like, no, what am I allowing in? What am I welcoming into this space? You know, who am I welcoming into my life? Who is worthy of being in my energetic space? You can still have that kind of ownership of it without being like, everybody out.
Yep. Exactly. And it's like, you stay, you come, you, yes, more of that, please. More, please.
More, please. Exactly. Just like your shirt says. So tell me, where did that catchphrase come from? Where did more, please come from?
You know, so more, please, I don't even know where it came from, but when I first started my business, like 3 years ago, I like have Cricut will make shirts forever. but I don't even know where it came from, but it was just like, more please. And it's because I think that, you know, for me, I spent so much of my life like doing what other people wanted me to do, being who other people wanted me to be. And it's sort of this, I don't know, kind of call to arms for people like us who are like, more for myself, please, more me, please, like more, whatever it is that we want, right? To have, I don't know. I don't think we're taught how to dream. I don't think we're taught how to be ourselves. I don't think we're taught how to stand up for ourselves. So just more of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that for a lot of us, myself definitely included in this, growing up, you know, we're only aware of what we're exposed to, right? Like in terms of what's possible and what success can look like, or what a dream life can look like. But when we're not really taught how to dream or how to think bigger, then it can be really scary to answer questions like, what would your dream life look like? You're like, I don't know. I saw this picture in a magazine and that felt good. Like, I don't know.
Yes.
I mean, do you have any like tips from the work that you do with your clients and just helping them to kind of explore that, like what's possible? Because I know that you coach clients a lot with, you know, the internal work and laying that foundation first to be able to know what they want. So how do you kind of open up that part of them too?
Really, I think a lot of it is just permission to play and to, I don't know, I in my morning pages, I journal a lot about like how important it is to, here comes the permission word again. I don't know why, but it's just like, I don't know, like this may not even be answering your question, but like I want people to look in the mirror and be like, damn, I like what I see. You know what I mean? And be like, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you for doing this hard thing today. I'm so proud of you for, you know, having your own back in that moment, right? So, and just sort of like taking the time to recognize yourself throughout the day for, you know, for moments where you feel successful, for moments where you feel connected, for I think it really just comes down to permission to notice and to pay attention to what feels good, to what doesn't, to, yeah, just to love yourself when it's hard, to have your own back. I don't know. That was a very long, convoluted
No,
answer.
I loved it. Like it's all about the recognition of self,
Of
of
self.
accomplishments, and broadening the term accomplishment too, because it doesn't have to just be, you know, something positive. It can be like what you're saying with getting through something that was really hard and being able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, we fucking did that. Like, we did that and it was really hard. And I don't know that I really liked it, but like props to us for getting through it and for doing.
Yeah, I call it the life-changing practice of being yourself because I think for a lot of us, we're, you know, we've built our identities upon what other people needed. A lot of us. I don't know if that's you, but I have. And so, like, learning how to be like, well, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. And to allow people who have tried to see, who have seen you a different way or had different expectations to be vulnerable enough to allow people to see you in a new way and to really like own who that person is. That, again, that confidence, like, even when it's scary, because it's so hard. It's so hard to reorient yourself in your relationships, in your work, right? If you're a self, you know, if you're self-employed, if you're an entrepreneur, right? Changing your offers to fit, right?
Oh my
Maybe
goodness,
you have to
yes.
fire clients, you know, I mean, like lovingly, but be like, I am leaning into who I am, and this is what I do now. This is how I operate. If that works for you, that's great. If it doesn't, again, that's great. Anyway.
No, I have. It's so interesting because when you were talking about, the person that we might have shaped ourselves into being because of what was needed for us, I definitely thought about some behaviors that I have a tendency to fall back on. And I have like a core group of people in my life that will call me out on it in a very like gentle, loving, supportive way. But they'll be like, hey, you're doing that thing again. Like, you don't have to, and that's okay. Like, I am here to hold space for you. I am telling you, I am holding space for you because I want to be there for you. So, like, and that's what, you know, brings the attention to the forefront for me, where I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a learned behavior that I don't need to do anymore. I am in a safe environment where I can be fully me. And sometimes we do that for ourselves. Sometimes it takes other people, whether it's, you know, close friends or a therapist or a coach that can bring that to our attention. But it's those moments that, you know, really just remind us like, no, it's okay. Just be you.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. You can be you. And, you know, I think for the majority of us, we're lucky and we have at least one person who knows who we are, right? So really being, but I think allowing ourselves to accept support and to talk about being scared and like, you know, I mean, life is freaking hard. I don't know if you knew that. Right? We get stuff thrown at us. And so, you know, just really, really having people and trusting yourself enough to ask for support, loving yourself enough.
I know one of the exercises that you had me do that you brought up during our call that I completed after our call was writing a love letter to myself. And that was like a beautiful exercise. I am so grateful for it. I had a lot of resistance to it at first. I was like, Sarah said I had to do this, so I have to do this. I'm gonna do the thing. Like I am a good rule follower. Well, I love to break rules, but like when it comes to I'm like, hold on, I need to pedal that back a quick sec. I am a good rule follower when it comes to like working with, you know, a coach or someone in my life who is like, this is what I'm saying that you need to do. Like you signed up for this, so now you gotta do the work. You gotta do it. And I love to do the work in that sense. Comes to like
I love
style, school, members of authority. I'm all about breaking the rules. But in this sense, it's like I will write the love letter to myself because that's what Sarah told me to do. And I did it, and it opened up my heart space in the way that, you know, you said that that's really like what you love to help your clients to achieve. And it's that opening up and that feeling my full self, acknowledging everything about me as well. And it was such a beautiful experience that you gave to me, and that like just a little task of like sitting with my journal in my office, you know, like with the beautiful sunlight coming through, and I just had my journal and writing out a love letter to myself. And especially, you know, in the kind of work that I do where I'm constantly trying to help other people see themselves and like feeling love for themselves, it's not something that I always do for myself, especially regularly. It's something that I like to do. I like to try to incorporate it, but this love letter to me, from me, was quite the exercise. And I know recently, Sarah, you've started doing morning pages. Well, not like super recently, but it's been like a practice that you've been implementing again. And so with that daily practice, what's come up for you, if you don't mind sharing some things that, you know, you might not have discovered or developed since, you know, starting on this morning pages journey.
Oh gosh. Well, first of all, I just want to say I don't want to like leave that. I'm so glad you wrote a love letter to yourself.
Oh,
And
thank
I
you.
hope that you have it somewhere safe.
I do.
And I don't know if you've ever used Future Me, but maybe type that bad boy out and send it to yourself for your next birthday. And then your birthday every year after that. I love sending getting letters from the future or from the
That's so
past in
cool.
my future. Yeah, do that. So my morning pages, you know, really, I think what's been really helpful for me is just like developing that practice. I'm a real dick to myself, guys.
Oh, Sarah.
I'm a total asshole. No, I mean it's par for the course,
Yeah.
but it really does allow me to I always when I first started doing morning pages like 9 years ago, I incorporated Martha Beck's best friend self. And so my morning pages are literally conversations with the two sides of me. There's the little a-hole on my shoulder and the one who's like, And so that helps keep me centered and grounded for my day. So it gives me a safe place to like share my anxious and scared feelings, and then a place that's like, girl, you got it. You got it. What do you need to do? What do you need to be? Do you need something to help you be more? And so, yeah, it's just a space for that. And so You know, the other thing, Susan, is I think that, like, for those of us who are sort of doing this soul's work, for lack of a better word, a lot of times I think what we are giving and creating in the world is what we need.
Yes,
Right? And
definitely.
so we kind of become our own examples of what's possible.
Yeah. I think you're so right about how we create and what we do, what we also need, in the sense that, I always come back to, like, whenever I'm having a morning or a day where I have feelings about my body, because I'm human, we all do. I think about the fact that I was like, I cannot be a hypocrite. Like, I can't. I like, that's where I have to call myself out and be like, okay, we can have these feelings, but then, like, what would I say to myself if I was a client of mine, like, in this moment? And I think for a lot of us that do that kind of coaching work, it can be uncomfortable to kind of coach ourselves, but it's also so much a part of our own healing journey and our own life's journey as well, because we're saying to ourselves, we're like, okay, like, I'm gonna call you out on your own bullshit right now. Like, we gotta deal with this, because if this gets ignored, like, we know what that develops into, because this is the work that we do. So it's just all about the healing, the acknowledging, everything, just calling it out.
I know, it's so annoying. It
Is.
is so annoying. I wish I could be like, oh, you know what? I just feel great all the time. My life is just peaches and cream, or what,
Isn't
insert favorite dessert here, like every day.
Oh, yeah, but
I
that's.
wish I didn't come back to the same thing over and over again.
I know. But that's our purpose, right? To, like, work through it, figure it out, and help other people do the same.
And you know, one of the most helpful pieces, I know, I'm like, sure.
No, I know you.
One of the most helpful things I ever learned was like that, you know, when we find ourselves like repeating these patterns and we're like, oh, I thought I was over that. I thought I wasn't going to do that again, is to think about it as like a cyclone instead. So
Oh.
you're actually like, you're coming around it. Like you're coming around it again, but it takes less time to get out. It takes less time. It takes less time. You have so much more awareness of what you are when you're like, oh, this is a, I'm doing it again. And instead of like, you know, beating yourself up over doing it again, you just beat yourself up less and less each time. And you're like, okay, well, the fuck, I know what happens when this happens. So again, permission to pay attention.
Yes.
Stop kicking your own ass.
Yes. I needed that permission myself, because that's definitely a space where I can be hard on myself, where I'm like, oh, it's happening again, or I'm learning this lesson again. I thought we did this already. But you're so right with that, like, visual analogy, like the comparison of the cyclone, where it's like, okay, but this, the time that it takes you to recognize what's going on, to work through it, to process it and release it, gets shorter and shorter and shorter. And this, the time that you're beating yourself up about revisiting this lesson also gets smaller. So overall, it's a big accomplishment that we're not always, like, ready to acknowledge or perceive in that way, but it's equally important.
It's true. It's life. We just gotta learn to have our own backs. Like who we see. Like who we see. You know? That's what I want.
Love that. So for people who are listening to this episode and they're like, oh my gosh, Sarah is blowing my mind. All of this stuff about human design. I'm so excited. I'm like, I just want to work with Sarah. I want her in my life in all capacities. How can people connect with you? How can they work with you? How would you guide them? What would the next step be?
Yeah, so I would say my Instagram is where I'm most active when I feel like it. And that is heysarahdemayo. Just hey at heysarahdemayo. So reach out to me there if you want to just chat. I'm very friendly. That's how Susan and I started talking and discovered that, both of our dogs are named after characters from Brooklyn Nine-Nine
Yes.
and our love for Ted Lasso. So that's always an option. But if you want to like explore yourself and be like, wait, I'm feeling like a little out of sorts, or there's something that I really want to do, but I'm feeling whatever, I would highly recommend booking a spotlight session. You can do that on my website. And if you are a business owner and you want help like putting all of your everything that you are online, then I can potentially help you with that too, because that is just a natural expression after that.
Amazing. And of course, we'll include all of Sarah's links in the show notes and everything. So you can just tap on them and start chatting with her, about Ted Lasso, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, or human design.
Whatever, whatever. I love to talk, so yeah.
Exactly. It's the best. I love chatting with Sarah, whether it's on this episode or on
Yeah,
Instagram
I'm
or
like, Susan, I feel like people will get really bored if this goes the 2 hours that I feel like it could.
Exactly. Yes. No. For
Yes.
sure. But anyway,
Yes.
Sarah, thank you so much for chatting with me and for being on my podcast episode. Just loved having you here.
Thank you, Susan. I loved being here and I love seeing what you're doing. And I just think you're the bee's knees and you're beautiful and wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. The best way to support this podcast is to subscribe and leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts.